Welcome to The Pastor's Heart. This is Dominic Steele. And this week on The Pastor's Heart, we're thinking about the issues facing church leaders in regards to stress, thriving, surviving, endurance and burnout. A psychologist, Valerie Ling, from the Centre for Effective Living, is going to join us and is joining us live to talk about the latest research about church leaders and burnout. But just before we get to Valerie, coming up over the next couple of weeks, well, next week, Rory Shiner is going to be here from Perth. He's the senior pastor of Providence Church, and they've just celebrated their 10th anniversary. The following week, we're talking to Mark Deaver, senior pastor of Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington. And he's going to be touring Australia but speaking in Sydney at the Nexus Conference, and we'll be grabbing him to talk to him on The Pastor's Heart. Steve Cree from Brisbane is going to be here talking team pastoring. Stuart Crawshaw, the things he's learned in 20 years of youth ministry. Ben Quashy in Foley Beach, they're the two new senior leaders of the GAFCON movement, that important movement within the Anglican Communion, and we'll be talking to them about the future of the Anglican denomination worldwide. Peter Mayrick's going to be here, and Richard Chin. And so that's what's coming up over the next few weeks. Look, just a note, we'd love it if you could help financially support this ministry. And we're asking people to do that by becoming a Patreon supporter at bit.ly/thepastorspatreon. And as a little inducement, as a little incentive, what we've thought of is an Introducing God pack. And so the Introducing God pack, it includes the sessions of the Introducing God evangelistic course on DVD. It includes the explanation and training DVD, and also a participant's handbook and a course leader's manual. And so if you're interested in using the evangelistic course Introducing God, that's a little gift to you if you become a supporter of The Pastor's Heart on Patreon. Now, if you'd like to subscribe to The Pastor's Heart, if you're using an Apple device, it's bit.ly/thepastorsapple. If you're using an Android device, it's bit.ly/thepastorsandroid. If you're using Spotify, it's bit.ly/thepastorsspotify. And you can subscribe to our YouTube channel on bit.ly/thepastorsyoutube. Now, Valerie Ling, thanks so much for joining us. It's great to have you.
Thanks for having me, Dominic.
Now, you've been helping pastors for a while on this area. How did you, as a psychologist, first get interested, get involved in this area of stress and burnout?
So probably lived experience, wearing multiple roles. I'm a mom, I'm a ministry wife, I'm a psychologist, I'm also a small business owner, and so burnout knocks at my door every day.
And so there was a moment when it kind of all came to a head.
I think so. And I would like to say that it's no one's fault. It's just my journey. I had to figure some stuff out. And then when I found myself working as a Christian psychologist, I noticed that there were other people who had gone through the same things as me. And as I watched them, I thought, there's got to be a better way for us to do this, not at this end stage. How can we actually prevent this from happening?
And you were saying to me, when it kind of all came to a head, you suddenly thought, hang on, I've read about this, I've researched this, and now I'm living it. I shouldn't be.
Exactly. It's if we know that this happens, do we just sit back and accept that this is the course of ministry? I don't think so.
Well, let's talk. We're going to talk about how to help people. We're going to talk about if I've got people on my staff or if I'm going through it myself. But let's talk about, well, what's your preventative thing? What do you want to, how do we establish good patterns at the beginning?
Yeah. So I think classically, burnout has been understood in the context of a kind of a health paradigm where we would say things like rest up, eat well, exercise well, sleep well. That is one part of it. If you actually look at what's really important in ministry resiliency, what we actually need to look at are three tanks, Dominic, at the same time. We've got to look at our personal resources.
Yep.
Those are things, not only the things that I talked about, but things like our friendships, our relationships. We've got to look at how we're actually mentally able to withstand conflict, change, adversity. That's our personal resources. Then come spiritual resources. Actually, that's first. You should do spiritual resources first because that has the best evidence. Spiritual resources isn't just about having a discipline to read your Bible and pray every day. It's actually being intentional about your growth, your spiritual growth as a person, as a child of God, outside from your role.
So writing down goals for me to grow in my relationship with Jesus this year, and which is actually what I tell everybody else to do.
And also taking yourself out of the ministry context. So whether it's having a retreat or actually meeting up with a mentor or having a support group, but it is about being just that human being under God's grace. And then the final component is keeping an eye on your work resources. Those are things like negotiating the demands on your plate, but also figuring out how you're going to resource yourself to do the work, because in ministry, it never finishes. So those are the three things that you need to look after.
Spiritual resources, personal resources, and work resources. Okay, I'm imagining it plays out differently if I'm an employee to if I'm a single minister on my own in the parish, or I'm a team leader. Do you want to just talk about it under those different headings?
Okay, so I guess the NCLS papers really tell us that the people who are at risk of burnout are probably the ones who are in solo ministry, the ones who are first out, so in your first 3 to 6 years of ministry, the ones who are working more than 50 hours a week, and probably the ones who are, as you said, doing ministry on their own. So they tend to be the risk categories. So therefore...
We've actually got a question on Facebook on exactly that. So why don't I go to that question? We'll put it up on the screen and I'll read it out. Someone's asked, if the formula for burnout is often expressed as the product of high demands and low resources, how do we help small church leaders for whom this equation is a daily reality in congregations with expectations that their church should be able to offer the smorgasbord of choice that bigger churches do, kids programs for all age groups, youth group, high-quality music, multiple growth groups, all at a high standard, but where there are limited resources available, particularly in terms of manpower and finances, and when changing the level of either the demands or resources seems outside their control? That really does sound like the person you're talking about, doesn't it?
You probably need a whole different segment to talk about all of that. But let me just hone in on two things, really. I can speak into that. I think firstly, it's the idea of what are the demands? Where have the demands come from? So burnout isn't just about more demands, less resources. It's also about identifying the types of demands. And if you actually look at the psychology of that question, there's a great deal of expectations there in terms of what is church and what is considered to be positive outcomes for a church. We've got to ask ourselves that. Is that what it is?
I mean, I look at this and think it feels like a corner shop church that's trying to be a shopping mall church, but with only corner shop staff.
That's it. I think we've got to actually be able to identify. Well, first of all, when you look in the mirror, who do you see? You need to see someone that you need to see Jesus. You need to see that that's his ministry. That's really, really important. Because once you identify that, then it clarifies actually all the other expectations that you're listening to. The second thing I'd say into that is you've got to understand your congregational life, numbers in your church, the stage of growth it's in, and not be consumeristic about it. In other words, not feel like you have to feed expectations of what church is supposed to look like, but actually see how can you as a church faithfully do the core business of the gospel with the resources that you have. And I think that's the bit of negotiating and clarifying where those expectations are and negotiating, either by simplifying it, the picture, or finding out who are the people who are contributors in your church and not just demanders.
Okay, contributors, not demanders. All right. Well, let's go to, I mean, you said a moment ago you felt stressed that some people had come to see you, some ministers had come to see you, and if only we'd got to them earlier. Perhaps you could just tell us, I mean, obviously not naming names, but kind of, tell us about the typical person who comes to you in that situation, or one or a couple of people who came to you last year.
And maybe what I want to add to that is the burden is it's not just the ministry staff, it's their family and it's their congregation that gets impacted as well. So the part of this burden, I think, is getting in sooner so that systems aren't impacted. You can see the patterns actually as early on. In terms of perfectionism, is one of the personality traits that we see a lot with burnout.
Mm-hmm.
And you can probably see that right up in the early days, whether it was university or even at Bible college days,
mm-hmm.
the kind of push-through mentality. I'll trade sleep for more study. I'll read, you know, that many more commentaries to ensure that, you know, the sermon is perfect, that sort of a thing. You can see those patterns right up there. So,
well, I was thinking about myself that as I was reading some of the papers, and we've actually on the notes below where this video appears, we've put a couple of links from the National Church mm-hmm. Life Survey. As I was reading them, preparing for you coming in,
yeah.
I remember in my early years in the ministry, a catastrophe would happen in the church, or somebody would come and say, "Here's a problem," and I just kind of shoulder it onto my shoulders and just kind of somehow absorb it.
And I
think in the end I was kind of putting trouble in the bank, do you know?
Yeah.
It was at some point going to need to be paid. Do you know? Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, I sort of say it's a little bit like dental plaque. If you don't take care of those factors early on, you just build on poor habits.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you're talking about too is also that need to feel, well, I think we think we're wholly responsible mm-hmm. for the ministry that God has placed in front of us. And then we're also persuaded, I think, by voices that we want to please,
mm-hmm.
whether it's our parishioners or the senior above us or the lecturer, in the case of college students, the lecturer.
Mm-hmm.
And those patterns don't go away, Dominic. They stay with us. Mm-hmm. And I think that burden, therefore, to say, well, if we just get in sooner, earlier, and just normalize it
mm-hmm.
and get people talking to one another to say that, okay, we think and feel this way, is there a different way
mm-hmm.
to do ministry?
So go back to that. Somebody comes to see you. Do you yeah. know? Tell us about the person. We'll just, who's someone who's come to see you? Yeah.
Well, typically there's somebody who has been very faithful in the ministry, who probably has already had some other church experiences where they were stressed and burnt out, but because it wasn't addressed, maybe may have gone then to a second posting. And those same patterns of working late, working extra hours, looking to please others, sacrificing on sleep, etc. And after a while, if they're married, the marriage relationship is eroded because there's no time or space to actually be friends with one mm-hmm. another. There's a lot of work-life intrusions. And after a while, you just run out of resources in your tank to keep going. And very soon, symptoms of depression starts to set in. Feelings of worthlessness, hopelessness, feeling like you've made a mistake, feeling like you've dragged your whole family into the scenario and now they're paying the price as well. So typically they're exhausted. They're also feeling like a failure in the eyes of God and in the eyes of God's people.
Mm. Now, as you describe that person, you made them sound, I mean, and it's helpful to do that. You made them sound like an assistant minister who's had one job and kind of somehow it's been stressful, they've got exhausted, somehow it's not worked out, they've left, they've gone on to another ministry job,
mm.
and now it's happening again.
Mm.
I'm the senior minister.
Mm.
How do I handle that? I mean, they've obviously come to see you as a patient, as a client,
yeah.
but if I'm sort of, I'm presumably seeing their work performance go down, seeing their attitude go down, what should I do? How should I respond in that situation?
Yes, I think having a pastoral conversation, which goes somewhere along the lines of, I've been observing you, and you don't seem yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems to me like things are getting harder and that, you know, it's becoming more of an effort than it typically was. And I think just having a genuine interest in asking, how are you going? What's been happening?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been sleeping? How have you been eating, etc.? And I think if it's coming out that this sort of, the three clusters of burnout, mm-hmm. I should say, Dominic. So first is emotional exhaustion, mm-hmm. tiredness and fatigue. The second is a kind of detachment from people, wanting mm-hmm. to isolate yourself. And cynicism can set in as well. And the third is just feeling like you're not achieving or not accomplishing things. So if you're noticing these three things, then it's worth having a conversation that says perhaps you actually need to talk to someone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that could be someone professional or that could be someone trusted to mm-hmm. begin the conversation to say, okay, how's it going and what sort of help do you need?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of time ministry folks just think that it will pass, that it's something that they just need to go for a holiday and it'll get sorted, or that this is part and parcel of the ministry life?
The default is for me to say, take some time off.
Mm.
Is that the best strategy, or is there a different strategy?
Yeah. I think there is. You definitely have to have some rest. It's rewiring those patterns, though, that's more important. So in ministry resiliency research, the idea is that we've got to actually increase engagement with your ministry again. So if you look at some of the NCLS data that comes out, when you actually ask ministers the degree to which what they aspire to do in ministry is matched to what they actually do in the role, mm-hmm. it's very often misaligned. You get bogged down, and sometimes because of our own doing, because we think that's what we're supposed to do with all the we've got to do it, the administering of the ministry. But we could also be having ministry roles that really just don't bring us joy.
Mm.
And we're doing it because nobody else is doing it, or we're doing it because we think we have to do it this particular way.
Mm.
So the way to actually deal with ministry burnout is actually to have a rest time to get some clarity in your mind.
I mean, we're just on that. I mean, there is some stuff there that I remember one of my assistant ministers telling me a story that when he was a student minister, he'd asked his rector, "What do you do in your job?" And his rector said, "Well, you want to know? You don't want to know what I did this morning? I cleaned pigeon poo out of the steeple." And when he went to Bible college, when he chose to go preaching the gospel, changing the world, he never really dreamt of being the pigeon poo cleaner out of the steeple. You know, that wasn't what he was imagining was going to happen. And I found that line helpful over the years, because sometimes I think, oh, well, this comes under pigeon poo. Do you know? Just that there's some stuff we have to do that's not really related to what you really want to be doing, but it just comes under the category of pigeon poo.
Yeah.
But it's when that's too much pigeon poo.
It's when there isn't really a focal point on the key aspects of your ministry that is getting assumed under all the other things. So if you do 70% pigeon poo, for example, well, let's just face it, your job is...
Is cleaning steeples.
That's what it is. That's what it is. And the seasons for these things too. And yes, so... What the literature suggests is we've actually got to increase and actually look and see at how we can resource ministry folk to do more of the things that they feel convicted to do and manage the things that they don't feel convicted
to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Will the person who's burnt out likely, as part of their mindset, think their boss is a rat bag? Do you know, if it's an employee?
So as a psychologist, we work with the start point of where people come in. That could be the start point.
Right. They come in and say, my boss is a rat bag.
That could be.
Yeah.
It could be the congregation.
Are a rat bag.
That could be. Now, any psychology will tell you that you can only control what you bring to the picture. So we've got to make sense of those dynamics and understand what it is. But ultimately ask ourselves, so what can I do about that? Is it a conversation I need to have? Is it a conflict I need to resolve? Is it that my job needs to be changed somehow? It's what we need to then do about that. So that's the aim of the game, not so much to blame, but really to figure out how we got there, including all of those dynamics, how I'm working with my senior minister, what's going on in the congregation, what's going on in my personal life, what's going on in my family, and then figuring out, okay, so then what do I do about this? You can only change what you can change from yourself, and not necessarily change other people.
Okay. What if I'm the senior minister?
And yes.
I've got a staff team, and yet
yes.
I'm just feeling completely overwhelmed, and all I'm thinking about is long service leave.
So there's a concept called about confidants and alliances. Senior ministers don't have a lot of either. They don't really have a space where they can go and actually talk about how they're actually feeling from an emotional point of view, from a support point of view. They also don't always have a space where they can have an alliance, where they can have a think tank environment either. What can I do differently? What are you guys trying? What have you found works? I've got this millennial on my staff. I think senior ministers need those relationships to come in to help them so that it's not so isolating. And if you can get them from a mentor or a coach or from the other ministers in your area, the other senior ministers in your area, that's a win. Often we don't have a culture of doing that, reaching out, being vulnerable, and seeing that we can actually get support from people who are outside our congregation, let's say, or even our denomination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so reaching out. Senior ministers need to reach out.
Mm-hmm. You've had in this NCLS document, there's a number of things. It talks about personal rating of effectiveness, and you say, we'll put it up on the screen, actually, the green graph, personal rating of effectiveness. Mm-hmm. Most ministers seem to rate themselves as being reasonably effective. I don't know. Is that a higher score for people in ministry than in the general community?
I don't know the data on that. But I think ministry is a very unique context where the work that you're doing is seen as being highly meaningful. The fact that you preach, the fact that you administer the sacrament.
Notwithstanding the pigeon poo.
Yes. So the role in itself means that it is an effective role. I do wonder whether if you dug a little deeper into effectiveness, what we would come up with. So the green does suggest that for the most part, ministry folk think that they're in a situation where they can do ministry and do it effectively.
Mm-hmm. Personal rating of stress, it feels as though if you compare Christian ministry with other roles, there's probably an overall higher level of stress. Would that be the case or not?
You know, I used to think that until we've actually hit a bit of a societal thing now. Principals are burning out. Any leader, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just carers now. It's actually people who are leading other people and wearing all of the dynamics of that. So, yes, I do think ministry folk have a unique stress that isn't seen to their congregation members. So if you actually look at that NCLS data, while a sense of effectiveness is high, the cost is also high because the levels of stress that are experienced and emotional exhaustion experienced to keep up with that effectiveness is high. And so sustainability becomes an issue. It will eventually eat into your health.
Mm-hmm.
It will eventually eat into your mental health and also your relationships.
Mm. So can I test a hypothesis on you? I have felt in Christian ministry, compared to my previous work in radio, that the wins are much more fantastic in Christian ministry because we actually see people make the transition from death to life, do you know? And so that's just kill the fat and calf, do you know? That's so exciting, so wonderful, so marvellous. But then the losses are much more devastating because we actually see people turn their back on Christ and go to eternal damnation. And so that means I feel like I'm more likely to come home absolutely on top of the moon or completely down in the dumps, whereas I felt like my previous jobs were more moderate. Do you know, comment on that?
I absolutely agree. So if you actually look at the kind of stress that doctors and surgeons have, that's one level, that life and death thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think Christians in ministry have a kind of existential death weight on them.
Yeah.
That complete alienation from the Lord versus complete reconciliation with the Lord. So it is that thing then of feeling so responsible for those outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
That we can't let go of. And that's why you can't clock off as a ministry staff, right?
Mm.
The work never finishes and the outcomes are always on your mind.
And are never actually, I mean, because until every single person's saved, do you know?
And we may not know
where
they are or how the Lord will move them on. So we may have a devastating experience in this season of our ministry, but that person may move on somewhere else and we may not know.
Mm. Good preventative habits, what do you want us to do?
Well, the first thing is to put supportive networks around us. We're too isolated in ministry. Whether it's reaching out to someone who is a season ahead of you, who can be a mentor or a coach, and also finding trusted peers. They don't have to be the blokes across the road. But digging deep into your ministry history and thinking about the people that you're really connected with, who can pray with you, who you can be completely honest with. So first of all, support networks. Second of all, have a life outside of ministry. feel like you're a competent, interesting person outside of the ministry life, and that could be having hobbies or having a cause that's different from what you're doing, because that just helps us feel like we are relevant. You know, if you plant, I'm not a very good gardener, so this is not a good analogy, but, you know, if you're good at the garden and things are growing, that helps you to see that, oh, you know, there are some things that work. It's just ministry is really complicated. So have a life out of ministry. Attend to your spiritual growth. Really, really important. Making sure that there is a relationship with Jesus that isn't just about the doing. Mm-hmm. It's about the being with him. The final thing, I suppose, well, actually, final thing is what everybody says, eat well, exercise well, sleep well. Sleep is a commodity. You've got to protect that. And finally, the thing that gets left out is looking at work resources, not assuming that it's just about reducing demands. It's actually about negotiating them, figuring out what gives you high value in the ministry life that you're really interested in. Is it apologetics? Is it evangelism? Is it children? What is it? Mm-hmm. And making sure that they feature prominently in your ministry week. And negotiating the other things and giving yourself space to say, I'm not very good with this. I can do it. Do I need help to do it better?
Okay. So this week, you and your husband have just taken on Epping Presbyterian Church. He's just become the senior minister there. How are you going to practice what you preach? How are you two? I mean, obviously, as you've taken on this, I mean, your role particularly hasn't particularly changed in that you're still doing the psychology work, but his role is changing massively, and you're obviously going through and negotiating at home about how it's going to work out.
We are.
Yeah.
So, and we also have children, so that's very important. So we nut down exercise regularly. We do think about our sleep. We have a non-negotiable time with the kids. For children in ministry, it's really important for them to know that there is a time in the week where nobody will take over from them.
How do you work that out? What's
in the diary?
So what do you do? Is it like a Wednesday night, or what do you do?
We've had a variety.
How old are your kids?
So they're 13 and 15.
Right.
This last Friday, we had a jam session. We had a music session. We might have games night. We might have dessert night. But it's one identified evening in the week where the children just know that they're a priority.
It's family night.
We do it as a team. I say ministry is about doing it as a team, because nobody asks the kids whether they want to be in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We guide our marriage very, very intentionally. I have a mentor whom I will speak to very openly and honestly about my holiness issues. So, you know, these are some of the things. We've got to be intentional. Sustainability is really, really important. Do we take on, you know, all of these ministries into our portfolio? Or can we actually say that not for this 3 months, but in the next 3 months?
Great. Yeah. What if I'm in trouble now? What's the help thing I should do?
Don't wait.
Because you're saying people come to you too late.
Too late. Well, it's never too late, Dominic, but it's such an unfortunate journey to watch people go through that amount of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait. If there's any of those three areas that are sounding like you, even one of them, I'm exhausted, I can't get to work, or I'm pulling back, I'm, you know, family and life not going, I would say talk to someone that you trust first to figure out whether this is fleeting. Because people who know you best can tell you whether or not.
And actually, all of us do feel like that for little bits of period. And so sometimes it is actually just something I need to push through.
Yeah, you want someone who knows you well enough and who can tell you whether this is out of character and whether this has gone on for a period of time where they're actually seeing more intrinsic shifts in you. Like you're more downtrodden, you're hard to cheer up, you're not attending things anymore, that sort of thing. Then if it's at the point where you're really feeling like, no, this isn't, like, especially if it's more than 2 weeks, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
If it's lasting more than 2 weeks, going on for months, then you certainly do need to seek some professional help. And in Australia, that first port of entry is through a family doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Different denominations have also got different things put in for pastoral care for ministry folks. So you need to go and find, make sure that you seek help. Don't wait.
Great. Valerie, thanks so much for coming in.
Pleasure.
My guest on The Pastor's Heart has been psychologist Valerie Ling from the Centre for Effective Living. And it's been great that you've been able to join us this week on The Pastor's Heart. And we'll catch up with you again next time. Hey, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could hop over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating and review. That helps us in the rankings and lets other people discover The Pastor's Heart. And again, if you are able to help us out by being a financial partner, go to our Patreon link, patreon.com/thepastorsheart.